From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. It's good to have you listening in today as we let the Bible speak. This is Alan Cairn saying hello to you and welcome to the program. I trust you'll stay with us for the rest of this 30-minute segment as today we close out our study of Christ at the well of Samaria, dealing with the woman who was there, a great sinner in great need, to whom he brought the sovereign grace of God. So stay with us as we look into God's Word. But first, our hot topic for the day, on the subject of no union with Rome. The Pope has called for what he calls honest Christian dialogue among Christian churches. His call followed the January week of prayer for Christian unity, observed by ecumenical churches around the world. Speaking at a prayer service in St. Paul Outside the Walls Basilica in Rome, he said, "Honest and loyal dialogue constitutes the typical and indispensable instrument in the search of unity." He told his hearers that Christians were praying, quotes, "so that all the disciples of Christ be one, and so they can give harmonious testimony to the men and women of our times." This has been a fairly constant theme of this Pope. The secular press reports his call as something wonderful. Even Protestant church leaders join the chorus. It all sounds so reasonable and so right. The truth is, however, it's all wrong. The week of prayer for Christian unity was conceived as a tool to bring about union with the Church of Rome. It was a deliberate attempt to undo what was accomplished through the Protestant Reformation. Its idea of union with Rome is the return of other churches to the papal fold. And that's what the Pope means by Christian unity. Ignorant and gullible Protestants are beguiled by calls for honest dialogue, but the truth is that Rome has never shifted the slightest bit on the critical issues that caused the Reformation. Her official position on the key truth of justification, by grace alone, through faith alone, in the merits of Christ alone, is, as it was set forth by the 16th century Council of Trent. It's significant that since that time, Rome has never attempted to alter or upgrade Trent's statements on the issue. The most modern statement that Rome has given on justification is in the Catechism of the Catholic Church, and it expounds Trent's position and appeals to it as a statement of accepted truth. Rome's position on another key issue, the sole authority of Scripture to determine matters of faith and practice, is also the same heretical position that the Reformers opposed. Every attempt at dialogue has either evaded these issues or has proceeded on a weakening of the Protestant opposition in the interests of unity. Let's get one thing clear. Rome's position on a number of issues crucial to the gospel is heretical. Rome is an apostate church, not a Christian church. Thus, union with Rome cannot be Christian unity. In fact, it's the betrayal of Christianity, a faithless turning from fellowship within the bride of Christ to a corrupt communion with the system that the Bible calls mystery, Babylon the Great, mother of harlots, and abominations of the earth.
Dead and like John.
You're listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We have a very special offer for you in this month of April, and I trust that you'll avail yourself of it. As our gift to you, we'd like to offer you my book on the Lord's Prayer. This has been a book that the Lord has greatly used and has been very instrumental in leading many Christians to a deeper experience of God in the secret place. The book is yours if you wish to have it by writing to us or emailing or calling. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is ltbs@freepres.org. Or you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-5827. 1-866-877-LTBS. We look forward to hearing from you and to letting you have The Lord's Prayer, a book you'll thoroughly enjoy. We now return to conclude our study in John chapter 4, looking at Christ's dealings with the woman at the well in Samaria. We have seen his sovereign grace, and we have spoken about his supreme wisdom in dealing with her. Yesterday, I closed the broadcast by showing how he revealed to this woman the real nature of her need. And now we take it up with the thought that he showed her that salvation was no mere surface blessing.
In dealing with this woman, the Lord Jesus showed that salvation is not a surface blessing, but it deals with the very depths of sin. That's why he said, verse 16, go and call your husband. You see, the woman had said, sir, give me this water that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. That has got commentators perplexed. Bishop Ryle protests against people who overstretch their imagination here and investigate this woman's meaning when she says, give me this water. Some commentators say she was being sarcastic. Some commentators were simply saying she was mocking. Oh yeah, you can give me water, I'll not need to come back. Give me the water, I'll never need to come back here. Some commentators think she was struck by the words of the Savior, and I believe they're right. She was really struck by the words of the Savior, but she still couldn't really get her mind, just as Nicodemus couldn't in the chapter before, beyond the natural to the supernatural. Bishop Ryle, in his own inimitable way, cries out in protest against people who want to investigate the infant faith of people as they start to come to Christ and want to throw barriers up in their way until they have a fully formed faith that's free from all these imperfections. He says, where are we going to find such faith? In fallen men. And where there's a soul that has been led by the revelation of Christ to say, Lord, give me this water. Let us rejoice in that. And let's lead them on as the Lord Jesus did. And he showed her this water. Now he drops, of course, the figure of speech. He's not talking about water anymore. He's going to talk very bluntly. He says, go get your husband. Because you see, if you get this eternal life, it's not just a surface blessing. You don't have to come here and draw water. It's not just here to make life more comfortable. That's the salvation that's being preached in evangelicalism today. Turn to Jesus and he'll turn your life around. Turn to Jesus and he'll give you a happier life. Turn to Jesus and he'll give you this fulfillment and that fulfillment and the other thing. And Jesus becomes, as has been and used to be noted very frequently in the 60s and 70s when the drug culture was at its height, Jesus becomes the Christian sort of LSD. Makes you feel good. If that's all Jesus is, God help us. For the Lord Jesus says, that's not just what I am. This goes further than simply giving you a comfort level in life. This deals with the depths of your sin. And he reveals to her, you're an immoral, wicked, fornicating woman. Probably there all alone because no one else would come be with you, for they would lose their reputation. But you can be saved. That's one of the loveliest things that comes through in the Lord's dealings with this woman. He shows her her sin, shows her herself, and then he shows her himself. That's how the Lord deals with sinners. And men and women, that's the beauty of divine wisdom. Every preacher's got to try and do this. Every personal worker's got to try and do this. You've got to show people themselves as God shows them. And then you've got to show them Christ. Show them Christ, because Christ is the answer to all their need. The Lord Jesus, in showing her that, taught her very clearly that a saving knowledge of God does not depend on tradition. Doesn't depend on holy places, whether Mount Gerizim or Mount Zion. But it depends on truth sincerely received. They that worship God must worship him in spirit and truth. Or with a truthful spirit. With a sincere spirit. Their spirit receives the truth sincerely. That's how a person is saved. You come here this morning, You say, "Preacher, I have a burden of sin and I can't move it. I have a history of sin and I can't obliterate it. I have a memory of sin and I can't forget it." I tell you, the Lord Jesus Christ's words to you are very simple. The Father is seeking people who will worship Him in spirit and truth. Isn't that beautiful? The Father is seeking. Oh, forget about all this almost blasphemous nonsense that paints God as a far-off deity, a severe and harsh figure. It's the devil's lie. You see, over the battlements of heaven this morning, the Father looking down for people like you and me, and He's seeking such who will receive His truth and sincerity. That's all. Receive what He says about you, a sinner, unclean. Receive what He says about Christ, a Savior, omnipotent and all gracious. Just receive sincerely the revealed truth of the gospel, and you'll be saved. Because the Lord Philip goes and he says, "We have found Him." That's what she's saying. "Is not this the Christ?" Think of the excitement that would have caused in the town. They listened to her testimony. Some were saved through her testimony. By the way, let me tell you, there is a powerful incentive to the newest, the weakest Christian to go and witness for Christ. Don't be worried that you don't know all the answers. Can somebody trip you up with a theological conundrum? Sure they can. But there's one thing they can't talk you out of, and that is your testimony. The man in John 9 says, "Once I was blind, but now I see." Can you not say that? Can you not go with this woman and say, "I have met the Christ"? Somebody will come up with some question you can't answer. Well, brush it aside. Remember what I said about useless arguments. I don't know all the answers, but I know the one who has all the answers. Let me tell you, I have met with the Christ. That's all she could tell. And people were saved as the result. People were saved. I think if Christians would only go giving their testimony, if Christians would only go out into the world and tell them what the Lord Jesus has done for them, we would see a whole lot more people saved through our lives and ministry. God's not given up the work of saving sinners. God's not out of the soul-saving business. The work of Christ will continue until His coming. And there's a good premillennialist, I'll say, then, beyond that coming, to bring in the millions to Himself. That's His work. Oh, she went and told. And what happened? They came out. The Lord Jesus met them. And they confessed, "He's the Savior. He's the Christ." Oh, for wisdom like that. That's the wisdom of the Savior in dealing with souls. Time is gone, but I will draw your attention to the third great thing, which is His burden. And here I'll have to leave it very simply. Verses 32 through 38. The burden of Christ was always to see a spiritual harvest safely gathered in. "Say not ye there yet 4 months and then cometh harvest." Probably a proverb is 4 months between sowing and reaping, more or less. That's the natural. But Jesus is saying, "Look, I have just spoken to this woman. Do you see the crowd coming?
Can you see the crowd of people? There's a great harvest. We didn't have to wait 4 months. There are times the Lord keeps us waiting. For Jesus shows that in the harvest, there's sowing as well as reaping. Sometimes there is a time to wait. Some of you have been waiting for years to see loved ones saved. Some of you have been witnessing for years to workmates. But keep at it. For there's not only work in the harvest field, there are wages for that work. He that reapeth receiveth wages. In the ancient world, among farm workers, the highest paid were the reapers. I suppose in many ways, because given the state of farming, that was the most backbreaking work. I don't know that you can carry it over into the spiritual realm, that the Lord pays higher wages, gives bigger reward for the reaper than for the sower. But I know that both receive their wages. And do you see this? They both rejoice. Both rejoice. You sow a seed, and another reaps that seed. You both rejoice. You stand before God. What are the wages? What is the reward? The reward is seeing those hell bound sinners now in heaven, saved by the blood of the Lamb. What kind of wages are you laboring for? Going to leave your money behind you? You're going to leave your home and your car behind you? The only wage you can earn in this world that you're going to have in heaven are the souls you bring to Christ. May God give us a heart like our Savior's. May God give us truly the grace to sow and to reap in our Samarias.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. I hope that you found today's broadcasting a blessing to your heart. If you'd like to email us, our email address is ltbs@freepres.org. Or if you'd prefer, you may write us at Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. We would love to hear from you. If you'd like to know how to be saved and how to be sure you're saved, we'd like to send you my booklet, A New Beginning, and I think that you'll find it very helpful. Each quarter we publish a free full-color magazine, Let the Bible Speak Quarterly, with a good variety of Bible teaching and testimony. It's available to all who request it. If you'd like to receive more information about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America and its ministry, we'd like to send you our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel. Or if you'd like to have tape or CD copies of the messages here in Let the Bible Speak, you may have them by contacting us. Or you may visit us on the web at letthebiblespeakradio.com. Now that's a lot of information to digest all at once, but you can find it all on our website, letthebiblespeakradio.com. There you'll be able to listen to and download our programs, visit our online bookstore, and read a text version of each day's commentary. So visit us today at letthebiblespeakradio.com. This is Alan Cairn saying, thank you for listening. I trust that you'll join us each day at this time, Monday through Friday, as we let the Bible speak.